Let's read together Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. In this chapter, we have various laws dealing with many different aspects of life. Keeping these laws reflected the holiness of God in your own life. Thus, this chapter could be entitled Practical Holiness. Let's begin by reading the first two verses of this chapter. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Let's consider a few background notes for this first half of Leviticus chapter 19. We see in verses 1 and 2 that this chapter is a speech by Moses to the covenant community. It is very similar to a covenant renewal message, because all the people are exhorted to lead a life of practical holiness as evidence that they intend to follow the laws of the Lord. The central thought of the message, and indeed for the entire book of Leviticus, is here at the end of verse 2. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, how are they to be holy as the Lord God was holy? Answer, they were to be obedient to God's laws, right down to the details of everyday living. Does this concept have any application for today? It definitely does. Listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote to Christians in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Leviticus chapter 19 has been called the highest development of ethics in the Old Testament because of this great emphasis on holiness. This chapter consists of 42 laws divided into 14 subsections, clearly seen by the repetition of the phrase, I am the Lord, or I am the Lord your God. So in the first half of this chapter, we have 21 laws divided into 7 of these subsections. Therefore, let's look at 7 doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Leviticus 19, one for each of these 7 subsections. So doctrinal point number 1, believers reflect the holiness of God when parents and worship are priorities. Verse 3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. The responsibility of honoring your parents does not stop when you turn 18 or 21, but continues on for life. You are not reflecting the holiness of God if you are unwilling to care for your folks when they get older. Now, keeping the Sabbath was an Old Testament law and certainly shows us that worship of the Lord should be a priority for all believers. Now, we'll talk more about the law of the Sabbath in the second half of the chapter. Doctrinal point number 2. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they do not make or have idols. Verse 4. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. An idol is a false god. So anything you make or have that is higher in your priorities than walking with the Lord is an idol. Your stuff, your career, your prestigious position in life, or even your God-given talents and abilities, that is, you yourself, could become an idol. Doctrinal point number 3. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they obey the details of his commands and when they care for the poor. Verses 5 through 10. Let's begin with verses 5 through 8. And if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the next day. And if any remains until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. And if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity. because he had profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. Now, we read about the peace offering and its regulations back in Leviticus chapter 7. This was the one offering where the people as well as the priest participated in eating a portion of the sacrifice as a fellowship meal. But certain details, as we see, had to be followed, or else that person was cut off from his people. Now, that seems like a stiff penalty, but the lesson is obvious. God expects his people to follow him in the details of his commands. The Corinthian believers did not obey the details of celebrating the Lord's Supper properly. And as a result, some were disciplined with sickness, and some even died. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in this connection. Now let's read verses 9 and 10 of Leviticus 19. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Under this law, landowners were to leave the corners of their fields unharvested, and they were not to have their vineyards gleaned. All of these harvest leftovers were for the poor people of the land. The specific amount of the gleanings was left up to the generosity of the owner. Remember how Ruth was able to take advantage of this law for survival before she met Boaz. Now notice how these laws of caring for the poor in verses 9 and 10 follow the law of the peace offering in verses 5 through 8, which emphasize fellowship with the Lord. So why are these laws grouped under the same I am the Lord subsection? It stands to reason that if you were regularly bringing your peace offerings but not caring for the poor, you were an obvious hypocrite. And the same is true today. If you're in fellowship with the Lord, you will give to the poor and needy. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they obey the details of his commands and when they care for the poor. Doctrinal point number 4. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they are honest. Verses 11 and 12. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. We are not to steal and we are not to lie. Stealing and lying both profane the name of the Lord, because these sins deny God's character of being a caring and truthful Heavenly Father. Here's another reason why we believe the Word of God is inerrant. The Bible is the Word of a holy, loving, caring, and truthful God to his people. Doctrinal point number 5. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they don't take advantage of others. Verses 13 and 14. You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear the Lord your God. I am the Lord. A neighbor in Scripture is not just the person living next door to you, but anyone the Lord brings in personal contact with you. It may be a colleague at the office, or someone who works for you, or a fellow student, or even a special needs person, as we see here. In all of these relationships, there should be no taking what doesn't belong to you and no oppression of any kind. Pay the people who work for you on time, even when you could delay payment for your own benefit. And don't take advantage of special needs people in any way, even by means of practical jokes. Doctrinal point number 6. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they preserve justice. Verses 15 and 16. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Now, these laws did not just apply to official judges, but to everyone. And the same is true today. We're all called upon to pass judgment in one capacity or another, in our families, in our areas of work, in our churches and ministries, and even as citizens. Do we judge fairly and with justice? Do we avoid the two areas mentioned in verse 15, where we might be tempted to distort justice? That is, showing favoritism to the poor because they have greater needs, or showing favoritism to the rich and famous because they have more clout. And do we preserve justice by not slandering? It's so easy to slander a person you don't like by spreading a false rumor or purposely raising a question about that person that wrongly tarnishes their character, even mentioning it for prayer. Slander is sin and perverts justice. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they preserve justice. And doctrinal point number 7. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they are good neighbors. Verses 17 and 18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Remember, we said that a neighbor in Scripture is more than just the person living next door to you. Read the account of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Remember, the Lord gave that story in answer to the lawyer who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" after the Lord had quoted verse 18 here, "Love your neighbor as yourself." To hate other people and bear grudges and plot vendettas is sin. Notice in verse 17 that it is not wrong to reprove your neighbor if the situation demands it. There is such a thing as tough love. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they are good neighbors. Practical application for this first half of Leviticus chapter 19. Be careful about practical jokes. Be careful about practical jokes. Verse 14, once again. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, to put a stumbling block before a blind man could cause physical injury. To curse a deaf man who cannot hear you will not cause physical injury, but it is still sin. These acts are not only sin, they are mean. Well, what about practical jokes? Be careful. You can certainly generate a lot of laughs with practical jokes, but it is usually at someone else's expense. It's great when some office tyrant or some proud, selfish egotist is brought down a notch with a well-planned practical joke. But be very careful with your practical jokes. Without proper control, they will continue to get closer to cursing a deaf person or putting a stumbling block before a blind person. I've seen it happen. Be careful about practical jokes.